Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And he's formulating Nick Bosa's bust in his garage right now.
Nice. It's a lock.
He's probably holding it, caressing it.
Hall of Fame lock.
I think he's... I actually think he's in Los Angeles giving stem treatment and personal massage to Bosa's ankle, whether it needs it or not. Thank you.
That may be why he's been money. Maybe that's what we're getting out of Butcher Boy before he comes in the studio, stopping by and taking care of Nick Bosa.
Bosa's been phenomenal. He had the 9 pressures, the 2 sacks, the 3 quarterback hits, the 4 quarterback hurries, the 2 total tackles, the 3 stops, the 1 forced fumble, and the great fake flag planting.
And a recovered fumble, right?
Did he have a recovered fumble in there as well?
There's some stat that he was the first guy in many, many years to get
all that, huh?
To get at least 2 sacks, a forced fumble, and a fumble recovery, I think, in the same game.
That's pretty darn crazy. And if you're a Pro Football Focus guy, and I don't know if you are, Pro Football Focus had him, his overall grade a 92.3. That's the best pass rush performance for a rookie since the creation of Pro Football Focus. That's how good he was. With all that said, and I know a lot of people are going to say, oh, you're going to go into the hole, no, he's not a secret anymore. I'm not worried about that. What I do wonder is a lot of the reason he's getting that because people are focused on what Buckner's doing, and Eric Armstead is doing what he was supposed to have done the last couple of years. They have to garner some attention that's allowing Nick Bosa to have a little bit of free reign.
Yeah, I think there's something to it, but I think that also isn't giving Bosa the credit that he deserves. I mean, he is, as far as we can tell, and look, I'm going to defer to the knowledge of people who know a hell of a lot more about football than I do, and it is those guys at Pro
You're
Football
welcome.
Focus. They are, you know, studying film. Yes, and new codes, of course. But when you got a 21-year-old and you hear these guys from Pro Football Focus who've watched just ungodly amounts of film and they say they've never seen anything quite like it on film, hey, I'm sold. I don't think it's Eric Armstrong and Armstrong?
DeForest Buckner?
Armstead,
Armstead, that's okay.
Yeah, I think, look, Buckner is getting done what he gets done because he is great. Armstead hasn't had this type of season yet, so...
Okay.
I kind of lean towards, all right, maybe the combination of Bosa and Buckner and a little D Ford in there loosens things up for Armstead. I don't care what it is. As long as they're getting something out of that guy because he was a first-round bust his first few years.
Remember when the 49ers, when the last time they had the dominant defense, they had the great linebackers.
Mm-hmm.
But they had the 2 Smiths going at it. Alden Smith had all those sacks. What do you have, 16 sacks in the season? He was incredible. Who is it, Randy Smith in the middle? Who
Justin
is it?
Smith,
Justin
the Cowboy.
Smith.
Yep.
Randy Smith is the old Buffalo Braves guard, good old number 9, who one time had the consecutive game streak in the NBA.
Okay.
Justin Smith did all the dirty work.
Yeah.
He was the guy in the middle of the line who was garnering attention from 2 offensive linemen every time and allowed Alden Smith to use his talents. Is Buckner this version of who I call Randy Smith, but who really was Justin Smith?
Oh...
You think about that because you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, or radio.com sports station.
It's tough. I just see those 2 guys' games as being so different. I mean, you could put Justin Smith anywhere on the football field and he's going to wreak havoc. He's just one of those guys who's really smart. And you just tell him, hey, we need this. He'll go out and do it. It's hard to quantify how much Bosa and Ford and DeBuckner can help a guy like Armstead or vice versa. I just think... the totality of that position group, having undergone the transformation they've undergone from being the absolute weakness of their team, well, maybe in a tie with the defensive secondary before they made the
changes. But
they could
go hand in hand.
Yeah.
One kind of shaded the other.
They do, for sure. I think, you know, you're not going to see a ton of coverage sacks, but I think you'll see a lot of rushed passes thrown. You'll see a lot of mistakes made because the outside rush is there, and it wasn't there all last year. I mean, you never had to worry about the outside rush against the Niners.
No, you absolutely did not. Now, defensively, you've got to worry about a number of things. And I know we had Grant Cohn on in the first hour of the program. He mentioned Jaquaski Tartt, and I saw this in the preseason. I think Jaquaski Tartt, who I think ended up with a concussion in the preseason, That guy's been throwing his body around on the field. I like what he's been doing.
I like him, too.
Richard Sherman is still to be respected in the game. He certainly was the other night, even though he lied about the Baker Mayfield
situation. He's fully healthy. You know what? I'm gonna defend him because
he's a liar.
There were two sets of handshakes. There was when they first got to midfield, mm-hmm. and then they do a coin flip, and then they did other handshake.
The game starting handshake.
Baker did the pre-coin flip shake, but he ran to the sideline as soon as the flip was over.
Yeah.
And the rest of his captain teammates stayed and did handshakes. Maybe, trying to side with my guy, maybe Sherman was thinking of that instant instead of the pre-coin flip
I'll give you that.
Look at what we're talking about
right
now.
I know, exactly. I know, isn't that ridiculous? But that's okay. Hey, you know what? I like defenses that have attitude. And if that's going to make your attitude.
And if you play better with a chip on your shoulder and you need to manufacture that chip on your shoulder, I'm fine with that too. Draymond Green works for him.
By the way, we look at the greatness of the Rams a couple of years ago, and yet they had a pretty darn good guy who was rushing the quarterback. But we look at the Rams, and they were an offensive juggernaut. Young quarterback, offensive-minded head coach. Rams are great. Look at their aerial attack. But they were centered on their defense.
Yeah.
Chicago Bears, young offensive-minded coach, got the most out of his quarterback last year. 12-4 record, I believe, was their record in the regular season. But they were anchored by their defense.
Mm-hmm.
This year's 49er team, we're so excited about them running the score up against the Cleveland Browns and winning four games out of the first 5 weeks of the season. As much as they've got a brilliant offensive-minded young head coach and this really handsome quarterback and a phenomenal running game, do the 49ers and their future, does their future really hinge on what goes on the defensive side of the ball more so than the offensive side of the ball?
I think you could say that about every football team at every level.
Every good team or every team?
Every good team.
Because in the past, I haven't been able to say that about the 49ers. Remember?
Right.
Robert Saleh, we wanted his head on a platter. Grant Cohn wanted his head on a platter and wanted John Fox to be the defensive coordinator.
And I know it sounds like a cliche, but cliches exist because they're rooted in truth. Defense does win championships. Show me a Super Bowl winner that had a bad defense.
As much as you've got this league, everyone thinking you've got to have arena football numbers
right.
and winning 45-37.
And that's what the league wants. Fine.
Defense gets you the championship. In fact, I remember going back last year was it last year or two seasons ago? I was looking at the head coaches of the four teams left in the National Football League. Belichick was a defensive guy,
mm-hmm.
right? I'm trying to think. Oh, I'd have to go back over this. But if you looked at the head coaches left,
Rams guy's offense, right?
Rams guy's an offensive guy. Andy Reid, he was in the Final Four. He was an offensive guy. There was one year where three of the four guys were defensive guys in the Final Four. And everyone is looking for an offensive guy.
Right.
I sometimes think you overlook good head coaches because they do the unsexy defensive stuff.
Yeah, you might.
You know? And maybe the reason that Vic Fangio got his chance in Denver is because the Bears defense was so audacious last year. Khalil Mack makes you so loud defensively. Unless you're in London, exactly. Nick Bosa has a chance to make the 49ers defense loud.
Yeah.
You can be good and quiet. Aaron Donald makes the Rams defense loud. Nick Bosa can do that. You watch. It continues like this. Someone's going to look at Robert Saleh and, oh, you know what? He might interview for some head coaching jobs.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
Yeah. Whereas a year ago, you want him fired.
Right.
Let's say 6 months from now, he could be talked about as being interviewed for a head coaching job.
Yeah, and in the offseason, in the preseason, because when there was talk that, oh, maybe Lynch and Shanahan are on the hot seat this year,
There's a rift between the two.
I always dismissed that and said, look, if there's any coach who deserves to be on the hot seat right now, it's Robert Saleh. Whether you think that's fair or not, that's fact. He's obviously off the hot seat now. I mean, that guy may well become one of the hot properties.
Yeah, that's how different things can change in the National Football League. But it's because of the defense that they're doing so well. And when you focus on the defense for this team and how well they've played, according to Pro Football Focus, and again, I don't know if you're a Pro Football Focus guy, other than Andrew Whitworth, who's a great tackle for the Rams, the rest of the offensive line is among the worst in the National Football League.
Mm.
That could spell some pretty positive things for the 49ers.
Yeah, no doubt.
Again, you want to twist your head around getting your team to 7-2 through 9 games. or maybe even better, that's what you start to do. You start to look at some of those grades and thinking, wow, their current weakness, and no Todd Gurley, is exactly what my strength is.
Right.
This could be a day in which they made a big name for themselves Monday night. You back it up in division against last year's NFC Super Bowl team.
Right.
All of a sudden, you're more than on the map.
So you're talking about a possible 7-2 start.
I was being a pessimist.
So you
in a close game, I gave him a loss.
So you like playing the schedule game. Do you also like playing the if the playoffs started today game?
I'd love playing the if the playoffs started today
game. Sweet. Niners are hosting. They get a bye.
Niners are hosting, and the Raiders are a playoff team. The Bay Area's heads are on fire.
And it's not going to be very hot at Levi's.
No, it's not going to
be super comfortable.
It's gonna be, yeah, exactly. That's I love that.
As long as they're leading, couldn't be happy.
Totally love that. All of a sudden, Levi's Stadium, no one's ripping it. Because I got news for you. After this ball game, you tell me, you afraid of the Washington Redskins? You've got to go to the Eastern time zone. You afraid of the Washington Redskins?
No, especially since you've already gone out. And look, the way they started the season, that I think that shut down a lot of doubters. Because to go into the Eastern time zone,
yep.
2 weeks in a row, they made the smart decision to stay in Youngstown. It creates probably a feeling in their locker room that Eastern time zone, what the hell? We've already dealt with that doubt. We've already cleared that.
Yeah, you got two wins Eastern time zone, and you can say they beat garbage teams, but they did it defensively in Tampa Bay, where they had the two pick sixes, right? They had two interceptions by the secondary all last year. They had two pick sixes week one. Mm-hmm. And week two, even though they played an awful Bengals team, they were coming off a good performance against Seattle on the road.
Right.
It was their only home game of their first four, and it was a chance for them to kind of show everyone, hey, we're not as bad as everyone thinks. And the Niners ran it up on the Bengals, right?
Oh, yeah.
They ran it up on the Bengals.
Sure.
So you're not afraid of going to Washington and getting a win. You're coming back home for Carolina. Are you afraid of the Panthers? So far, Cam Newton hasn't been able to perform. Now, their backup quarterback has three wins.
Yeah.
But are you afraid of? No.
I'm afraid of Christian McCaffrey. I mean, he could go absolutely bananas one day.
Phenomenal. I got a pretty good defense, though.
Yep.
I'm not afraid of the Panthers.
Right.
Arizona comes. Or you go to Arizona on the short week. Arizona's been known to beat you for the last few. What? They haven't won. They haven't beat the Cardinals since Harbaugh left? Is that true?
Yeah,
I think so. That's ridiculous.
Lost to him twice last year.
I don't care. If it's a short week and I got to travel, I'm not afraid of Arizona.
You have to beat that team.
Okay, you do got to beat that team. You come back home. You have the long week and a Monday night game with Seattle. That gets interesting.
Sure.
Because I'm not sure Seattle's as good as everyone had claimed they were going to be.
What did you think going into the season? Before preseason even started, did you see Seattle as a potential threat to the Rams atop this division? Because I'm assuming you expected the Rams to win this division.
I thought the Rams were going to be the class of the division. I thought the Seahawks and the 49ers were going to play for the second spot in the division and potentially be in the hunt for a playoff spot.
So you're a little bit more of a believer in the Niners going in than I was.
Yeah, and it probably depended on the day. It was one of those things where I could make myself believe they could be that, and then there were times probably in the midst of the five interception practice and the pick six or the pick off in that what should have been a pick six against the Broncos in the preseason, I probably started to think a little bit less of them. But if they're 4-0 now, even if I play the pessimist game, let's say they lose on Sunday, you're 4-1. You're going to beat Washington, you're 5-1. I think you beat Carolina, you're 6-1. I think you beat Arizona, you're 7-1. If I'm a pessimist, you lose to Seattle. You're 7-2.
Right.
You got Arizona coming in. You're 8-2. Then things get interesting. Here comes Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. You have to go to take on this crazy quarterback and the Baltimore Ravens. Lamar Jackson, no one's been able to figure him out yet.
He's going bananas.
He's doing things that no one thought was going to happen.
By the way, at that point, yes. I think the 5-10 on Chilton Autobody text
line, give it to me.
They're saying, hold your horses. Remember, what week or when will Bosa get hurt? He will, in all caps.
Wow.
I know.
Why are you bringing me down?
Can't you just enjoy it? 415, that's weird that they're still fifth in offense with a horrible offensive line. Niners about to get served, LOL.
Okay, that's fine too. You know what? That makes for better watching.
Yeah.
That makes for better watching. 212 the time, quick step aside. When we continue, Greg Beecham. He follows the Rams for the Associated Press. We'll find out from him how banged up or how good or bad the offensive line is. How the Rams change without having Todd Gurley. Michael Urban, Jim Cozumore with you. 888-957-9570. Hit us on the Chilton Auto Body text line. 95795. You're listening to 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Generic. Wow. No respect here.
That's bugging you, huh?
It's under the skin.
That's all right. That means we can sneak up on people.
You know, I haven't been in the studio for a long time. I've been doing a lot of shows on the road.
That's right.
And
I keep meaning to join you at the barbecue spot, but
you should.
It's just too early.
I'm at a barbecue place in Oakland at 7:30 in the morning on Sundays.
Yeah.
It is a wee bit early. We do have the bye week this week. There is no Raiders pregame programming with Rick Tittle and I, but we'll be back at it the following week, so we'll have a lot of fun doing that. But I haven't been back to the studio in a long time, and it's been such a long time, I forgot my key card. So I shouldn't even be here right now.
And so Nash had to save you and go downstairs, right?
I could have called 888-957-9570.
You could have.
Could have been standing outside the door and just hosted from there.
Or you could have just called me and said, can you come down and let me in?
I don't like to bother people. Let's get it rolling here. Jim Cozumore and Michael Urban with you on 95.7 The Game. It's the Rams and the 49ers tomorrow. We were talking about the Warriors a couple of minutes ago, and you just came up with a little nugget here on the... I'm sorry. What were we talking about earlier? The Warriors and the opener against the Clippers.
Yeah.
We talked about the opener.
Right.
And we were talking about, well, you'd rather see Phoenix come in on the opener, but you got a little nugget on that game.
Well, Paul George, I didn't even realize he had gotten hurt, but our good friend Mark Medina, who's now gone national with the USA Today, I was reading a tweet of his, and he said the Clippers have given no timetable for George's return, but Doc Rivers did say that he thinks George will miss, and he said, in quotes, the first 10, which Medina took to mean that he'll probably be out until at least November 13th.
Wow.
Which means he will not be in uniform at Chase Center for the season opener, so maybe that evens the scales a little bit more.
Yep. And the Warriors win. Warriors 1-0. Just letting you know. All right, let's get it going here. Jim Cozumore, Michael Urban with you. It's the 49ers and Rams. Greg Beecham is a reporter for the Associated Press, and he joins us on 95.7 The Game. Among Greg's beats, are you ready for this? Rams, Chargers, Lakers, Angels, Galaxy, LAFC, that's MLS, both SC and UCLA football, the Ducks and the Kings in the NHL, boxing and MMA. When does this guy get a time? Greg, welcome into 95.7 The Game. When do you get a night to yourself,
Greg? The life of a news service guy.
Yeah.
It's a little difficult, I got to say, but I'm an inch deep and a mile wide, so I go to what's going on that night. I put out the fire in town, basically.
Man, that's outstanding. Great work, and we appreciate you joining us here on 95.7 The Game. All right, so no Todd Gurley, no Aqib Talib for the Los Angeles Rams. How are they affected by those two losses?
Todd is obviously a loss. I mean, you lose one of the best playmakers in the NFL. It's always going to be a problem, no matter what's going on. But they do have backups who they are confident in and they really like. Malcolm Brown is a guy that Sean McVay's been talking up since the moment Sean got here as a guy who could be a starter in the NFL. He's going to get his second career start against the Niners, get a chance to really show what he can do. He's an incredibly athletic player. If you go back and look at some of the plays he made late last year while Gurley was starting to slow down a little bit before Malcolm got injured for the rest of the year, he was showing off what he can do, and he's very impressive. And then they've got rookie Darrell Henderson, who they used a third-round pick on. So clearly you want to get that guy on the field at some point during the season. It may be happening a little earlier than they wanted to, but they're doing all right. As far as Aqib, he's obviously a great corner in this league, but he has not played great this year. I don't think anybody would try to tell you that. So they really like Troy Hill, who's their backup at that position. They think he'll do a good job. I mean, who knows? It's really hard to tell with that influx. So every passing defense like that depends on multiple guys to make their plays at the same time. And They got to worry about Marcus Peters playing well and all the things that could go wrong. So it's definitely a setback on both counts, but they do have guys they're confident about behind them.
And Greg, I know that you have some ties here to the Bay Area, so you're familiar with what's been going on with the 49ers over the years. From outside looking in, now that you're covering, you know, on behind enemy lines, what are the Rams thinking of the 49ers thus far? Are they giving him that much thought?
There's a lot of respect for the 49ers here, honestly. I mean, this is obviously, you can tell the bond between the coaching staff is obvious because Kyle and Sean worked together in Washington for several years. They know each other. They talk to each other during the season, that kind of thing. And, you know, the Rams came out of nowhere in 2017 under Sean. They had that huge one-year turnaround, and obviously Kyle had way more problems, way more setbacks, didn't have a quarterback to start, all the things that prevented him from doing what Sean did if you just have it in the vacuum. And they have always spoke highly of the Niners, even when they were going through their struggles last year. There was nothing but respect for those guys. I think it's a real strong mutual. It's actually the thing that's in the way of starting a real promising rivalry here, is that the teams seem to get along well and respect each other and think they're great. So I don't see any bad blood there. I think that could happen over time because these two teams look like they're set up to be pretty good for a while. So I would look forward to seeing if this game is the one that pushes that into the next level.
Greg Beecham of the Associated Press giving us the word on the Los Angeles Rams here on 95.7 The Game. You know, Greg, we've been kicking around the idea on the 49ers side. As well as they have played, a lot of it has been the running game. And because they've got so many injuries on the offensive side of the ball, we're wondering if Jimmy Garoppolo can win games for the 49ers, or if he's a game manager. In Los Angeles, is there a true belief as to what Jared Goff is? I know they've spent the money on him, but is there a belief that Goff can win games for them, or do they just ask him to manage the game for them?
You can only take Sean at face value and what he says publicly and privately over the last 2 years, and that's that he does believe Jared Goff is one of the elite quarterbacks in this league, and he can win games for them. That's what Sean says. That's what you have to take at face value. You know, I mean, you know how it is. People want to say, you know, Sean's not being honest or whatever. I don't see it, because you watch Jared Goff at his best, and he is one of the best quarterbacks in the league. He's really elusive. He's really smooth. He's an athletic guy who can find and make really tough throws. And he does it over and over again. Then he also has games where he doesn't play that well, where he's managing the game, and where he doesn't even do that well. He's been very inconsistent. The thing you have to remember, he's not even 25 years old yet. He's a young guy, came out of Cal young, you know, and he's still learning on the job. He got thrown in with one of the worst teams in NFL history, one of the worst offenses in NFL history as a rookie. People tended to frame their perception of him from that first year. And even though he's grown and matured from those steps forward, and Sean's been coaching him and all that stuff, people still tend to see that there's things lacking there. I think that rookie year got people thinking more about what he can't do than what he can do. And when you really watch Jared Goff and see what he can do, it's pretty impressive. The game against Kansas City last year, the game against Minnesota last year, which in my opinion was even better. He can make throws that not a lot of guys in the league can make when he's on his game. The matter is getting him on his game. And this year, with the offensive line changes the 49ers have had, that the Rams have had, and the setbacks that the tackles have produced, it's even tougher to see exactly what he can do, but it's definitely in there. It's just a matter of whether Sean can get it out of him.
Hey, Greg, we were kicking around the idea of the label of game manager, and some people have slapped that on Jimmy Garoppolo, and I've said, look, it almost sounds like people use that as a negative label, yet I've never seen a quarterback labeled a game manager who wasn't also a winning quarterback. You follow me?
Exactly. That's true. You don't have a lot of losing game managers
out
there, because otherwise you make a change. And the fact is the quarterback's asked to do a job just like everybody else on the offense. The left tackle's asked to block the right defensive end, that kind of thing. The quarterback's asked to do this, this, and this. And if he does it, I don't know how you criticize him for doing his job. I agree 100%. I think game manager has one of those needlessly negative stereotypes, especially for a position like that where you have to have the ball in your hands every play and make a decision every play. I mean, to get a large percentage of those right, that's a game manager. That's doing a good job. I don't see the downside to that.
Greg Beecham, the Associated Press, joining us here on 95.7 The Game. We go over Rams 49ers. They'll play tomorrow. They'll kick it off at 1:05. Greg, I think the conventional wisdom among those who follow the NFL was that in the NFC West, it was going to be the Rams. Then the Seahawks and Niners would kind of kick each other around to see who finishes second and third, and Cardinals are going to finish last. And it's only been five games. But at 3-2, what are the differences of the Rams? Has it just been bad luck? Do they feel like they're off a little bit from the past? Are they the same that they were in order to get what they were last year, which was a Super Bowl team?
You characterize all this with the big asterisk that they were 1 48-yard field goal, I believe, by Greg Zuerlein in Seattle, away from being 4-1.
Yeah, true.
All that this really reliable kicker had to do was make this one field goal, and they would be 4-1, and with all these problems anyway. But having said that, there is absolutely a sense that they have not taken a step forward this year. I don't know if they've taken a step back yet. It's really too soon to say. But the fact is they had 2 years of really great success, and they rewarded the guys who were responsible for that great success. Now, last year, they've handed out the largest contract in NFL history for a defensive tackle, a running back, and a quarterback. They've rewarded all these guys. What they have not done is really refresh their talent base to any significant extent. They signed Eric Weddle, who's been very good as a safety, as you might expect, and they signed Clay Matthews, who was having a great year until he broke his jaw last week. And other than that, they did not add a lot of talent, either through free agency or through the draft. They've only made the last first-round pick the Los Angeles Rams made was Jared Goff. They have not made a first-round pick since then. They've made 2 second-round picks, and they've been Gerald Everett, who's only starting to emerge as a tight end, and Taylor Rapp, who's a safety rookie this year. They have not refreshed their talent base the same way that some teams have, whereas the 49ers have been, as you know, drafting really high and getting really good players and doing a good job refreshing their talent base and building for Kyle Shanahan. So there is definitely a sense that the Rams have not taken another step forward, and that can be due to a lot of things. And it's too early to say whether that's going to last the entire season. But, yeah, I mean, I think the Seahawks got better. I think the Niners got much better. I think the Cardinals are on the road to getting better. I'm not sure the Rams got a lot better.
What do the Rams do well defensively that bodes well for them against this 49ers attack?
They are they're a good adaptable defense. Wade Phillips does a really good job making adjustments in a game when they're getting hurt by something early. They change things up late. Aaron Donald is obviously an incredible asset. He doesn't have the numbers this year, but he has been double teamed just astonishing amount. Even by Aaron Donald standards, it's been crazy the way they've sent two guys at him. And that affects other people, but that goes back to what I was saying before, because they didn't get somebody equivalent to replace Ndamukong Suh. You know, they don't have somebody over there who can cause defenses trouble and make them think about that. They've got Sebastian Joseph Day, who's a very good young defensive tackle, but not scaring anybody. And they've got Michael Brockers, who's a good NFL defensive tackle. They've been counting on Clay Matthews, Dante Fowler, and other guys to provide the pass rush that Aaron was getting last year when he set the record for an interior lineman in sacks. And they've been getting it from Clay, but he's out. They have not been getting all the numbers they want from Dante. He's playing all right. But the things they do the best are figure out what's going on and try to answer it. They didn't do it against Tampa, but all the other games, they've done a reasonably good job of that. And I think Wade often doesn't get enough credit for his adaptability and flexibility and defense like that. I think with San Francisco, with the running game, I mean, that's pretty straightforward. If you can't stop that, you're not going to beat the San Francisco 49ers. So I assume they've spent a lot of time this week getting prepared for that, getting their linebackers ready, getting the new guy, Samson Ebukam, who's coming in for Clay Matthews, getting him up to speed on what's going on. He's a good player. He started 14 games last year, but he stepped back when Clay Matthews came into town. So they're gonna know what San Francisco wants to do, and they're going to be ready for it. But the question is, once San Francisco starts having success, whether they can adjust and adapt. And they have done in the past. So we'll see what happens in the second half tomorrow.
I know a broken jaw is tough. Is Clay coming back this year?
He is. They're hoping to have him back after the bye week in 3 weeks. So right. they go to England in 2 weeks. Yeah, they have a week off. And Sean McVay's best case scenario is that Clay will come back after the broken jaw. He really wants to play. He knows this is a good year and a good scheme for him. He's got a 2-year contract, and he really wants to play, he told us. So I'd say there's every chance in the world he'll be back for the second half of the season.
Ooh, man, that is some kind of vicious injury. Before we let you go, because you cover both SC and UCLA football, USC Notre Dame. Yeah, USC Notre Dame, is it going to be a game today?
It's going to be a game of football, yes. They are going to play. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they're so inconsistent. It's so hard to tell which team you're going to get, whether it's the team that lost to BYU or whether it's the team that just trucked Stanford. I don't know. I think they've got some things they can do well, and if they can get together a game plan where Keaton Slovis can put it in the air to their three wide receivers, they can play with anybody just because those receivers are so good. They've got three NFL wide receivers lining up who are just talented and elusive and smart and physical. And putting the game in their hands is a great way to go if they can figure out a way to do it. The trouble is negating, you know, Notre Dame's pass rush and making sure that Keaton Slovis has time to throw it, and making sure Keaton Slovis is ready to go. I mean, he can't come back from concussion. So I think they've got a shot if they can air it out and be consistent like Slovis and his receivers were against Stanford. You know, it's much more likely that it'll be cold and they'll have trouble and they'll try to run the ball and they'll struggle with that, and then they'll be forced to throw, and then Notre Dame will know what they're doing. And we may have a long day for the Trojans, but I'm looking forward to seeing what happens.
If it's a long day, is Clay Helton going home on the team flight, or is he going home in a car on his own?
Just run and catch a commercial.
Yeah.
I think he's probably okay till the end of the year because USC has an interim athletic director who doesn't want to fire him. He's come out and told us straight up that, you know, it would be weird for him to fire the coach and hire an interim coach and then have a new athletic director coming in to make a decision on the state of the program. So I would imagine unless something the way they phrased it was unless something extraordinary happens. If the Trojans go on another losing streak like they did last year, where the team kind of gave up on Clay Helton at the end of the year. I think that might be an occasion to make a move before the end of the year. Otherwise, their schedule in the second half of the year is not horrible. They've got a bunch of winnable games. So if Clay can manage to get them to an 8-4, 9-3 finish, I imagine he won't get fired during the season. But this is USC, so absolutely anything is possible at any time.
Anything's on the table. Greg, we appreciate your knowledge of what's going down there in Southern California. Enjoy the game tomorrow. Well, I'm sure we'll do it again soon, but we really appreciate you giving us all this time here on a Saturday.
Thank you, Greg.
Oh, anytime, man. It's always nice to talk to guys back home.
Sure. Take care, pal.
Bye.
There you go. Greg Beecham with the Associated Press, covering all those teams down in Southern California. The only ones he does not cover, the Dodgers, the Doyers, and the Clippers. Let me see who else.
And he's probably the number one backup for both of those.
Yeah, probably.
That's,
you know,
life with a news service.
Man, that's the way you do it,
job
right?
Security there, though.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Versatility.
But you got to cover some terra firma down there, right? Because if doing the Ducks and the Kings, you're getting down to Anaheim. You're doing the Angels. You're doing the Lakers. You're getting up to Staples. Getting back down to Anaheim.
Because those who don't know, Anaheim is not close to Los Angeles proper.
No.
It should be the Los Angeles. In fact, when I used to do pre-post for the Giants, whenever I would, just my way of entertaining myself, whenever I would get to the Angels, that was right after they changed their name to Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
Yes.
So I would call them Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim in Orange County, near Disneyland, and also near the John Wayne Airport, but not really anywhere near Los Angeles.
You know, I'm making that flight tomorrow morning. I'm going to fly to L.A. and take a car down to Disney, down to Anaheim. That's like 40 miles.
You're flying into LAX?
Yeah.
Or aren't you flying to John Wayne?
You'll have to ask my travel agent,
okay,
my wife, who
right,
picked that flight.
Much closer.
Yeah, I know. It's like right there, honey.
Yeah, and LAX is, it's not easy
right
to get anywhere from LAX.
Now, I will say, though, I'm leaving first flight out, so I land bright and early on Sunday morning. My guess is I'm going to have my way on the freeways.
Yes.
8 in the morning.
You should.
8 in the morning on Sunday in L.A., right?
Yeah, you should.
Shouldn't have any problems?
Though. But that's kind of what, as soon as you assume that, that's when you're going to run into heavy traffic. Oh. Just like at 238 up here in the Bay Area, right?
Yeah.
238, you are always going to face traffic.
Doesn't matter the time.
Nope.
Doesn't matter the day, weekend, weekday.
3:22 a.m. on a Sunday.
Yes.
You will hit traffic there.
You absolutely will. There's no question about that. Hey, how tough is it? First of all, how hard do you have to get rocked to break your jaw, Clay Matthews? Or rock somebody, whatever it is. But breaking your jaw, from what I understand, is a difficult task.
You probably got to get hit on just the right spot or the wrong spot.
Yeah.
Depending on how you view it. Yeah.
And then to come back, what are they saying, like roughly 5 to 6 weeks after that?
Seems like a broken jaw would be something really easy to aggravate.
Yeah.
Any sort of contact.
Don't they wire your jaw shut?
I know they do in a lot of cases.
And you lose a lot of weight that way because you can't intake the proper calories.
Kanye West had to live with his face wired shut. He actually recorded with his face wired shut, recorded a hit.
A hit?
Yeah. I don't have the name. I'll guarantee the text line will give that to us.
Give it to us, and then maybe, can we bump back in with it, or is it a naughty?
We can bump back in with anything.
Because Kanye...
Is Bobby still back?
Wait a minute.
Wait a second.
They tagged out.
Now I'm
this
absolutely
is like raw.
Certain we can pull this off.
I don't know. Last guy was pretty good, too.
Oh, Bobby's fantastic. He's one of the front runners for Rookie of the Year.
No question about it.
But we've got a lot of those.
But we've got
a good young crew.
Babe Ruth might have just sat down in the chair.
Yeah.
You know?
Spadoni.
Yeah. The Spadoni.
Joe Spadoni. I've had people text me in the middle of a show after we've just come back from break saying, Spadoni's running the board, isn't it? Or Spadoni's
really?
Your DJ. Like, he has a signature sound.
Wow.
We'll
that
see.
Guy... He's got it. He's got
if
two
If he can
games.
Find the Kanye song where his mouth is wired shut, that would be impressive. I'm going to find it. We'll see if he does.
That's what you guys do. listen, we've got a lot of stuff we got to get to here today. And I know the baseball playoffs are going on, but I'm going to take a scenario within the baseball playoffs and weave it towards the Giants. Okay? I'm going to get that.
Yep.
I'm going to do that between now and 5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Are we doing good for ball, bad for ball today?
Sure we are.
We are?
If I'm working the show and the co-host is up for it, we'll always try to end the show on the lighter side of sports, and that's with good for ball, bad for ball. Encouraging fan participation this week, too.
And I'm told an extended version of good for ball, bad for ball.
You know what? Every one of them, like, if we get to it late, we'll run out of time quickly. If we go to it where we think it's way too early, it's just one of those things that expands to however much time you have, right? Were you like that as a student? Because if you gave me 2 weeks head notice, heads up, that I have a paper due, okay, I'll get it done in 2 weeks. I'm not saying I'll get anything done for the first 13 days, but I'll get it done when it needs to be done. That's kind of how I am with this.
Well, I like that.
We've got Rich in Fremont. Would you like to talk to Rich?
We've got that, but I have Rich the mailman on the Chilton Auto Body text line through the wire by Kanye.
Yes.
But wait. I've got another one here. Through the fire. You're welcome, Devin in San Mateo.
Is it
through the wire?
It's through the wire.
Or through the fire?
It's through the wire.
Okay, so maybe Devin is wrong.
Look at this. We've got, there's hundreds of through the wire. Maybe it was just a typo by Devin, no?
I think it was. I'm sure, you know, Devin, like I, maybe with chubby fingers, probably just hit the wrong key. My phone, though, I do the swipe texting now. Do you do the swipe texting?
What's that?
It's badass. You just, through the keyboard, just like AND, you just keep moving your finger on the board. You don't have to take your fingers off the board and use your thumbs. Just take your finger to the letters. You like, what word do you want? I want to do urban. U right to the R, keep my finger on the board to the B, to the A, back to the N, urban pops up.
It seems like it would be harder than
it's easier. It's 1,000 times easier.
Really?
Touch screening is the best way to text.
I like the predictive.
Next to voice texting.
You know how it offers you suggestions, like three right underneath where you're typing gives you three.
So yes.
Like, okay, here's where we think your conversation might be going. It's freakishly accurate. I use that quite a bit.
Sometimes a little sassy.
Yeah, it doesn't swear, though.
Fremont Rich on the 49er game against the Rams. Rich, you're first slash next up here on 95.7 The Game. How do you see this one for the 49ers, the undefeated 49ers, Rich?
First of all, thanks for taking my call. What's up, Irv?
Rich, what's happening, man? C-Dub season, getting close.
I know it is, and I'm excited about it. I just think that this is a game where they're going to have to grind this out. I got a feeling that the Rams are going to come after them. Even with what they got, I just think that in the end, Garoppolo's going to have to step up. He's going to have to make plays. And if they have any mistakes, you know, crucial mistakes like they did a couple of weeks ago where they had like 5 turnovers, it's going to kill them. It's going to kill them this time because the Rams are more poised to play them. And not to mention, even though with what they have as far as their 3-2 record, they're still a very, very good team. And I just think that if the Niners have too many mistakes, that it's going to cost them this time.
Yeah, and Rich, sorry to interrupt. Don't you feel like every team that has a better season than most people expected have at least one game where, you know, they really kind of overachieved. They got away with one, so to speak, and it felt like they got away with one when they won a game in which they turned it over 5 times.
I agree with you 100%. You know, the thing about football that we all like is the fact that everything is based on a simple play or a turn of event that causes a game that seemingly should be going one way, all of a sudden it goes another way. Case in point, the game where the Rams were playing against Seattle. Simple field goal. You make that, you win the game. But they didn't. So now they're 3-2. So I think this is going to be one of those type of games, and I think it's going to be one of those type of games where the Niners have to seize the moment. They're 4-0. They're top of the NFC West. They cannot allow any mistakes to ruin what they start off to be. Really, it's just been a great season. And by the way, Herb, I thought you got off later, and that was the reason why I couldn't have you on my show on AllBayAreaSports.com radio show. But if you can get in there, I'm on from 4 to 6 on Saturdays. I'd love to have you.
I am off at 5 o'clock, so shoot me a text.
Okay, sure.
I will do, sure, from 5 to 6, I'm free. I'll hop on with
do
you,
it.
No doubt. Not the whole hour, but as soon
do
as
the
I,
whole hour. You're big time.
I have a post-show routine that includes a stop at the Safeway down here. As soon as I'm out of there, I'm all yours.
Interesting. Mine is getting over to BART to make the first train back home.
You love BART.
I do.
You have a love-hate relationship with BART.
You're right, I do. There was one seat on my train today that was open, and people kept getting on at every stop, and they'd walk to that seat, they'd look in it, and the look on their face was horrific, and they would walk away from the seat. And there was a beautiful mom and her young son. They walk up to the seat. They turn, like, it's empty. They're going to go right. Sit in the seat, and they turn. They look in there. They look, and they see what's in there. And the look on their face, they had to turn and look the other way.
Feces?
Some would look. I'll let your minds figure out what it was, whatever it may have been. But they looked. They saw. Then some people would laugh and walk away. Others shook their heads. Others were disgusted.
So it wasn't stacks of money.
It wasn't stacks of money. It wasn't really. It wasn't a brand new iPhone.
Somebody laughed.
Well, yeah, yeah. Somebody
chuckled.
Yeah, and actually, it was quite a fine looking mom. It was a mom with her son, and she was attractive.
Easy.
Well, no, that was, I'm giving someone a compliment.
Okay.
You can't,
your wife might look at it differently.
You know what? I love my wife. My wife doesn't have to worry about a darn thing.
Good, thank you.
You know, but it's honestly, I mean, it's almost to the point nowadays you can't give a woman a compliment. All of a sudden you become this evil human being.
You're lecherous.
But it was a lovely looking mom who had her son, and she looks at it, and she, because they were going to go, and she looked at the scene, and she looked at her son, started laughing. She goes, no. And then they walked through, they went to the next car.
I'm dying now to know what it was.
Bart, I'll tell you, it's the way to go. Michael Urban and Jim Cosimo with you. Hey, your calls are coming straight ahead. Jump on the lines, drop of the hat, Matt's going to be next up. 888-957-9570.
And it was, the name of the song was Through the Wire. They sampled Chaka Khan's Through the Fire.
That's awesome. So you were right, last guy that I said might have been wrong. Devin, good on you, Devin.
Or is Devin a he or her? Do we know?
I don't know what his pronouns are. I don't know what their pronouns are.
Do they know what was in the BART seat? Because I sure would like to know. Are you going to tell me during the break?
I will tell you during the break.
All right.
When we continue on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Urban and Cosimore.
About time. This just sounds like it's altered.
It's sped up, Chaka Khan.
Okay.
But it's a Kanye song.
Okay, that's cool. We've got some college football up on our screens up here at 95.7 The Game. Urban and Cosimo with you until 5. We've got the Alabama-Texas A&M game. A&M is one of my favorite teams in college football. Do you know why?
I don't.
The original 12th man. I know Seattle stole it.
Yeah.
They're the original 12th man. And when the A&M Aggies score, everyone in this crowd gets to kiss their girl because they're the 12th man. The fans are the 12th man.
Okay.
And when the team scores, the fans score.
Gotcha.
So that's the tradition at an Aggies game at Kyle Field. So when the team scores, you get to turn and kiss your girl.
Don't the Seahawks like pay A&M something?
Yeah, I think they had to come to an agreement.
12th man?
Yes, there was some type of an agreement they came to, and Paul Allen could certainly afford at the time when he was alive and he was owning the team. I believe his sister now owns the team. But he could afford to pay off the Texas A&M.
I'm guessing his sister's doing okay, too.
Yes. Probably. And from what I understand, also dearly loves the Seahawks. But there's a question about how much the love is towards the Blazers because they own the Portland Trail Blazers and the Seattle Seahawks. And there's a tremendous love for the Seahawks. They won a Super Bowl.
Right.
And there is a very strong affinity for the Blazers, but it's up in Portland. It's not really Seattle. And there is a thought that that could be the next team sold in the National Basketball Association.
Aren't Portland and Seattle kind of, I don't know, Northwest rival cities?
Yes. Yes, they are.
So it's interesting that they own...
He owns one of each,
professional teams,
right?
In each.
Yeah. Yeah, and remember, unfortunately, and this is the worst trade in NBA history. I think it was worse than Vancouver for Memphis. But when they traded Seattle for Oklahoma City, Seattle is one of the great cities in the States. And Vancouver is one of the great, great global cities. Those are the two worst trades in NBA history. Vancouver for Memphis and Seattle, giving up Seattle for Oklahoma City.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of Seattle, too. I love that city.
And I like Memphis and Oklahoma City. Don't get me wrong. But in the comparison, I'd rather be going to Vancouver and Seattle.
I'm with you.
All righty. We got a lot of stuff to get to at 2:52 here on a Saturday. I'm losing track
Fleet
of
Week
my...
Saturday.
It is Fleet Week Saturday. And maybe someone can help us on this. When do the Blue Angels fly overhead? We know that they practiced yesterday. I was at NBC. I had a show to do. And a lot of my coworkers were going up on the roof watching the Blue Angels practice.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Cool.
It was really cool because there's the rooftop that we have.
That rooftop spot you guys have is really nice. They didn't have that when I worked in the building.
It's pretty cherry, isn't it?
Yep, it is.
Yeah, they've the building.
Cherry, wow. I have not heard that word used in that context in forever, dude.
Thank you. That was
so junior high.
Thank you.
Cherry,
Thank you. That's awesome. Yeah, that was a good one. That was a sweet pull. I'll admit it. That was a sweet pull. Let's get some phone calls out here. The 49ers and Rams get rolling. A little bit later on, we'll talk some Warriors and also I'll get to some Giants just based on the playoffs going on now in Major League Baseball. I'm going to switch it over to a Giants conversation, but drop of the hat, Matt, you're going to get us started at 888-957-9570. Niners tomorrow. How big is that game against the Rams?
Hey, what's up? How you guys doing? Thanks for having me on.
Doing great, Matt.
Uh,
Michael Irvin, you remember my prediction at the beginning of the year, right?
What was it?
It was 14-2. It was 12-4, but I wouldn't be surprised if it went 14-2.
Wow.
Well, this is the biggest game, right, to make a statement, because I think we're going to win, because I think that the Rams don't have an identity. They kind of blindsided on offense because they don't have a running game. And if Jared Goff, he has the worst protection in the NFL. If you can pressure him, statistics says that he doesn't do very well. And as far as the 49ers, we do have identity on both sides of the ball. We got one of the best running games, right? And we got this elite defense that's one of the elite defenses in the NFL. So if we win this game, our schedule is real light. But I think that if the Rams lose, their schedule is not that light. It's not that tough. Seattle's the one that's going to have a tough schedule down the road. But anyway, I think the Niners are going to win this game. I think that both teams are going to try to establish a run, but the Rams don't have a run. But if the defense plays well, it's going to be up-tempo. That's the only way these teams can really score some points. That's my take.
I like it. Thanks, drop of the hat, Matt. We appreciate it. You know, what the funny thing is that when you think of an offensive genius, and that's Kyle Shanahan, you always think of the aerial attack, right?
Yeah.
Everything is put on the how many yards your quarterback's going to throw for, how many touchdown passes is he going to get, how many different options do you have. Remember, we thought George Kittle was going, you thought last year was good. Wait till you see him this year with Jimmy G and all that stuff. It's the running game that really is the catalyst for this team.
And Kittle hasn't had that huge bust out game yet, but
no.
How much has the attention he draws helped the running game?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, that is an interesting question, and it is going to be very interesting to see, after such an explosive offensive attack that they had on Monday, running the football, all of the problems they now have physically hamper the running game, including Kittle's groin injury, and he's listed as questionable. You don't know how bad it is, but if you lean on the side that it's worse than it is better, well, he becomes less of a factor, not only as a target, but he's not going to be there as a blocker. I was joking around yesterday when I was at the NBC studios. Take Toy Lolo in your fantasy leagues. He'll probably be the guy having the big game at tight end for the 49ers. But I think just the way it stacks up, both teams are banged up, but the way it stacks up for the 49ers offensively, I think they might be at a bigger disadvantage.
Wow.
Yeah, just because of listen, you're missing your tackles, you're missing your tight end, you don't know what you're going to get out of him, and you're missing your fullback. And I think the missing of Kyle Juszczyk for 4 to 6 weeks is going to be a bigger factor than people give it credit for. In fact, I wish we had Lorenzo Neal on with us or had him on as a guest. There has been a marginalization of the fullback in the NFL.
Yep.
A lot of teams don't use one. The Chicago Bears do not have a fullback on their roster. That has been the way the game has changed in the last couple of years. But my theory now is, because the league has gone away from the fullback in recent years, is that why we're starting to see a return of the fullback? Because Kyle Juszczyk is an important piece to what the 49ers do.
Yeah.
And there are some teams who do have a traditional fullback, and those teams tend to run the ball fairly well. I would like to get Lowe's thought on this, because I've been blessed enough to fill in Joe Lowe and Dibs. I love being on that show, and those guys are fantastic in the morning, 6 to 10 Monday through Friday. But you know, oftentimes we talk about how the fullback is forgotten about.
Yeah,
there are teams without him, and Lowe was maybe the last traditional fullback that mattered in the National Football League. But because they've gone away from it, I wonder if now that's why we're starting to see it peak its head back into games.
Now, if the Niners have another big game on the ground, they've gained, what, over 800 yards in the first four games on the ground? If they have another big game with the two tackles, with Juszczyk out, boy, can you imagine how much brighter Shanahan's star is going to be? I mean, if you can have the same sort of impact on an NFL defense with three of the keys to your offensive attack being gone, then maybe we start thinking he might deserve that genius tag.
You will, because if you look at the head coaches in 49ers history, Seifert's number two, right?
Yep.
And number one is pretty odd. Harbaugh's number three?
I guess he got him to a Super Bowl.
But you start running the ball big, you beat the Rams, you continue to run it well.
Mariucci.
Where's Mariucci number three?
I don't know. Would you put him ahead of Harbaugh?
That's a pretty good call, but Harbaugh was so mercurial. He came here.
See, the way he went out is what really sours me on him. I mean,
I don't disagree.
They took a dump in his last year. He kind of lost him.
8-8.
Yeah.
And the Harbaugh, kind of the apologists for Harbaugh say that they blame Jed York for that 8-8 year.
Right.
I tend to be more of a, you know what, it was Harbaugh's third year, and he also had a hand in that.
Yeah.
Now, the leaks were not Harbaugh's fault, but Harbaugh was given an opportunity to sign a pretty damn big contract, the second largest contract among head coaches in the league, and he scoffed at it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not on Jed York. Jed York showed him the money.
I wonder if that's his self-awareness, because it's clear. You look at, if you studied Jim Harbaugh's career, he loses teams after 3 or 4 years. And that's why I think he's much better suited for college, because your roster has
the
automatic
turnover effect.
Yeah, has turnover big time. But you're dealing with, in the pros, grown men. And if they're here in the same kind of college rah-rah stuff that Harbaugh plays quite a bit, you might just get sick of it after 3 or 4 years and say, I need a different voice.
I'll be interested to see if an NFL team is able to woo him back to the NFL game. He is a competitive human being. There is no question about that.
Yeah.
And I wonder, will he stay at Michigan, which to him is like an NFL job? He's the new Bo Schembechler, but he's not getting the same type of wins.
Right.
Right? He hasn't had the signature.
He hasn't beaten Ohio State.
That's the main thing. You have to beat Ohio State.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.